there's a weird thing going on with the NFL scouting process entering the draft. According to Albert Breer of the NFL Network, the Washington Commanders are hosting quarterbacks today. They're going to have a group interview here. Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, and Michael Penix Jr. all going to Washington today as part of their official visits in preparation for the NFL draft, which is a mere, what is it, 8 days, 9 days away. 9 days away from today is the NFL draft. And they're bringing in four quarterbacks in one day. And one of those guys is not like the others. Actually, two of them aren't. But Michael Penix Jr. is a surprising one in there, as he is not a candidate for number two by any stretch of the imagination. Nor is J.J. McCarthy.
Unless you want to go full Anthony Bennett here.
We've actually heard at least J.J. McCarthy in the top five.
Sure. The interesting thing here is this a let's see what they all look like side by side kind of situation, where we talked about this last week, the differentiation between 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, 4 to 5, like the gaps between all of them.
Yeah.
If you get them all in at the same time and you can truly try to evaluate apples to apples, does that make it easier to separate things?
I think it does, because you don't get lost in the moment of talking to a guy or seeing a guy in front of your own eyes. I actually kind of like that. It is very NBA-esque, and remember some of the off-putting nature that Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions, he said, I felt like I was talking to a bunch of basketball guys, right? There was a report that Jaden Daniels, it didn't feel that his interview initially with the Commanders went very well, because of the same kind of reasons that Ben Johnson had pointed out. But this is very reminiscent of the way basketball teams bring in their draft prospects. You bring in a group of guys, and largely you'll have a group where you're down to a few of them and you have them in at the same time. You stagger them mostly, but then you have your group guys where you bring in four or five guys and you try to work them all out.
I think that's really what you're trying to do, is you're trying to eliminate whatever you can as far as biases or differences, or maybe you're looking for something to be exaggerated and to really show out and like, oh, and there's one thing, at least on the NBA side of things, is talking to executives as they came through for Hoop Summit in preparation for 2024 draft was, I kept asking some version of a question of how much do you value the NCAA tournament or conference tournaments? And they all tried to say some version of, I try to not let it impact me. If at all, I'll turn it off. Yeah. Because I want to let the other 35 games matter more. Because we see this so regularly. Like, you take a look at when a team makes a run in the NCAA tournament. You know, the Zach Collins thing. We've talked about that. Do you think that exists in college football with a team like the Washington Huskies and Michael Penix making the run that they did?
I think Jaden Daniels is a great example of it. He wins the Heisman Trophy this year, and everybody's like, number two pick.
Remy, what was LSU's record this year? Was 7-5?
No, were they 7-5? Were they? I thought they were hovering around
8-4.
9-3-ish, 8-4 sounds about right. But I think that his eye-popping numbers in having, I don't know, two of the best wide receivers in all of college football on your roster. And this is like, look, we talked about this Penix all the time. And
I'm sorry, they finished 10-3. Why did I
10-3? Yeah. With the bull win, they got up to 10
wins. That's right.
That's
what it was. It was 9-3.
So they were, but you had two of the best wide receivers in college football. I mean, Malik Nabers and Bryant Jr., those guys are going to be first round picks as your wide receivers. Michael Penix Jr., we're seeing kind of the evaluation process was, yeah, he was really good, but he also had the best receiving core in college football.
You know? Is that helpful?
And parsing through that, I think that's why you sit there and you see like a group setting like this where you have all these guys in on the same day. You also may be going, all right, if we see Michael Penix Jr. throw J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels, I've said this, I believe that drop between 1 and 2 in this draft of quarterbacks is huge. That gap between 2 and 5 is closer than 1 to 2.
Yes.
And I think what a team like Washington or New England may be doing is sitting there and getting through this, the final 9 days here, and going, all right, if the gap between Jaden Daniels and Michael Penix is not that big, why are we beholden to taking a quarterback at 2, and do we kick the tires on moving down in the draft? Because Michael Penix Jr., between the ears, his character, there are no questions.
No.
Right? Those questions are not there. And Jaden Daniels made massive strides at LSU, according to Brian Kelly and everybody surrounding that program. But there were those questions at Arizona State, sure, of how invested he was, mm-hmm, and how maybe checked out he could get.
The interesting thing here for me is, and maybe I'm taking this too far, but my brain looks at this and goes, okay, where are we at historically in college football and as it pertains to the transition to the NFL? What is the most likely occurrence over the next 3 years? Are wide receivers, as great as this wide receiver draft is, and it's one of the best we've ever seen, do we think that's changing next year?
That it'll be like a bad draft?
Yeah.
No. Because it'll be another great.
It'll be another great wide receiver crop. You may not have a Marvin Harrison Jr.,
which is why T. Higgins is now residing in the fact he's going to play in Cincinnati this year.
And that's my point. And it's like, you look at it and you're like, well, if we don't want a quarterback, maybe we take a Marvin Harrison Jr. But why? Is the value proposition that you're talking about for quarterbacks should also be used on a calendar scale, mm-hmm, over the course of 2 or 3 years? You're forecasting classes and you're going, okay, this quarterback class is Caleb Williams. Okay. After that, Drake May. Okay. After that, okay. Well, I'm not really certain. But when for forecasting next year, does the quarterback class get better? Yes or no? Is it, can you talk yourself into next year's quarterback being better than what you're going to have this year?
Yes, because you could have the potential. And this is the thing with teams like Washington and New England, is you are so far away from being competitive. You throw Jaden Daniels or Drake May or J.J. McCarthy or Penix or Bonix, you are going to see a massive regression, mm-hmm, in their development. And like I, it is tried and true. We know this. Fill those holes, and you're still not going to be great.
And so you're going to have the opportunity to draft again.
Fill as many holes as you can. And if you get quarterback 1 in next year's draft, it is better than taking quarterback 2 or 3 yeah, this year.
And that's kind of where I fall in this as it pertains to quarterback. Now, you could get a Brock Purdy at the end of the draft. You can get a Tom Brady in round 5, whatever. But you're playing on the data tells you that the bust rate of quarterbacks is extremely high, particularly on first round quarterbacks that aren't top picks.
Yeah, this is what is always the big worry from these teams, right? Is that there will be a quarterback that goes to a better situation that is drafted in the first round, and they don't want to miss out on that guy. But the reality is, Patrick Mahomes in 2017 is the prime example of this. If Patrick Mahomes is drafted number 2 overall to the Chicago Bears, he is not Patrick Mahomes as, sure, we know him right now. He isn't. He went to a perfect situation with a really good roster that was ready to win, and he didn't even play right away, right? But as it stands, Mitch Trubisky was taken at 2, and Patrick Mahomes was taken at 10 when they traded up. Now, the Bears also missed on Deshaun Watson, which, take his character and throw it out, he was a really good quarterback in Houston, and he was drafted after Trubisky and Mahomes, mm-hmm, right? And so there's always this fear that, oh, well, we're gonna whiff, and you know we're gonna miss out on the next generational talent.
You can't let that fear paralyze you. You have to trust.
No,
you have to let your work be the thing that you trust.
And you have to look at with reasonable eyes,
yes,
where your roster is,
and with value scaling going forward. You can't look at just this year. And that's the thing, is if you're a GM and you draft a quarterback in the first round, as much as you can say you can cut ties with them, if you take a bust quarterback in the first round, there's a strong possibility you're going to lose your job.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I'm just not willing to put my name next to the quarterback in the first round unless I think he's that guy.
And
that's at least my philosophy.
They'll talk themselves into it.
And you can go, that's scared money and all that, but I think it's smart money.
And I think in the right situations, Jaden Daniels and Drake May would be really damn good.
Sure.
J.J. McCarthy, same thing. But I don't know if New England, well, I know New England isn't it. I don't think Washington is it right now either.
Washington, I can at least squint, and it's blurry, but it's not as bad as Carolina.
Mm-mm. And in Carolina, like, look what they did to Bryce Young. Like, everybody's like, Bryce Young sucks. Well, no, the Carolina Panthers suck.
And Bryce Young might suck. And they sucked before. But you gave him no chance.
You stacked the deck against him.
Yeah, for sure.
And that I feel like both Washington and New England are going to stack the deck against their quarterbacks. And you're right, Washington is in a better, roster-wise, they are in a better place than New England is. But you need to...
The bar is the floor.
You need to make sure you set your quarterback back up for success. And I think that Washington may be on the right track here if they're bringing all these guys in and saying, hey, maybe we do trade back a little bit, acquire more draft compensation, and then we go and as we get more draft picks in, we let it ride with the quarterback that we do get later in this first round with more talent to surround whoever that is. And maybe we do miss out on Drake May or Jaden Daniels. But also the reality of it is, like, New York could jump up and go and get one of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be able to live with that.
Yeah.
You have to.
And that's what I'm saying. You have to be willing to trust your work.
Yeah.
If your work says that this guy is not that guy and you don't have the capacity to let this guy succeed, get out.
It is such a... It's a weird thing that Washington is doing. And this isn't the first team that's ever brought in like a host of guys. But to have that range of guys from going Daniels, May, McCarthy, Penix all together one day in D.C., pretty interesting stuff.